A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples left from there and began a journey through Galilee, but he did not wish anyone to know about it. He was teaching his disciples and telling them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question it. They came to Capernaum, and once inside the house, he began to ask them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they remained silent. They had been discussing amongst themselves on the way who was the greatest. And then he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all, the servant of all." Taking a child, he placed it in their midst. And putting his arms around it, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. So imagine if we were really this honest. Okay, listen to the opening words from the Book of Wisdom. The wicked say, "Let us beset the just one, because he is obnoxious to us." How many of us, when we see a holy person and they get under our skin precisely because they're holy, how many times are we honest enough to say, "You know what, this person is holy and I'm the problem"? So it says, "Let us beset the just one. He's obnoxious to us. He sets himself against our doing. He reproaches us for transgressions of the law and charges us with violations of our training." This is kind of, to me, this is actually kind of a humorous reading, okay? Here's the thing. There's really, if you don't want to change, if you don't want to be humble, and you don't want to be sincere, there is really nothing more irritating than being around somebody really holy. Being around somebody that you know is holier than you are. Or maybe even if you don't know they're holier than you are, at least they have some aspect. There's something that they are good at, or some virtue that they have that you know that you don't have. If you don't want to accept that, you don't want to own it, you don't want to be humble, and you don't want to have to change, there's nothing more annoying. And actually, you know, today we've got the statue of St. Father Pio here. I guess his feast day must be coming up, because otherwise, why would he be here? Father Pio is actually one of my go-to saints. He's a great one if you're a priest, okay? Just a factoid for you. Frequently, before I celebrate Mass, when I'm in my pious moods and I have time, I will generally kind of prepare for Mass. And amongst other things that I will do is, I have four priests that I will pray to. It's Father Pio, St. Ignatius of Loyola, St. John Vianney, and St. John Bosco. They're all four great priests. And each one in their own way has inspired me in different moments. So I will pray to them and ask them, prepare my heart to be able to celebrate the Mass well, etc., etc., etc. Well, Padre Pio, now imagine this guy. You live with a guy who has the stigmata nonstop. Not only does he have the stigmata, but the stigmata emits the scent, a strong scent of roses. Okay? He reads people's hearts in confession. He has all kinds of mystical experiences. He appears to people in different moments, including one of the most famous stories is during World War II, there was an American bomber pilot who wasn't even Catholic. And he was, you know, on a bombing mission to go blow up some bridge or something, you know, because the Germans occupied Italy and they were part of the Axis. So this guy wasn't even a Catholic pilot, and he was on this bombing raid, and he's there flying his airplane, and he sees floating in the clouds Padre Pio pointing at him saying, "Go back." So he goes back, and he's like, "Boss, you're not really gonna believe this one. So how come you didn't drop the bombs?" "Well, I was flying my plane and I saw a monk in the clouds and he told me to turn around." Fortunately for him, his superior, his officer, commanding officer, was a good Catholic, and he said, "Oh yeah, there's a monk down there that's supposed to be really holy. Okay, don't bomb him." But imagine that one. So Padre Pio did this kind of, you know, cured people, miracle after miracle, and thousands of miracles that are attributed to this guy. Now, if you don't want to be holy, and you live with this guy, can you imagine how annoying? It's kind of like St. Peter's. You have Father Elio. Everybody comes to Father Elio. And poor Father Donald, Father Stephen, when I was here, nada, zero, okay? Father Elio, Santo. No, just joking. But imagine, he lived with like, I think, 30 or 40 other friars, okay? And imagine living in a house with a guy like this, where people start traveling from other countries, they come from all over Italy, long lines, full chapels, and the only person they want to see is him. You don't matter. Now, if you are not going to be humble about it, do you think that would be a little bit annoying? Just a little bit. And frankly, he had a strong temper, okay? He was hard to live with. And one of the things that made it hardest for people was they knew deep down, he's holier than I am. So not only is he annoying, but he's right. What a frustration, okay? And that's what the reading from the Book of Wisdom is about. Let us beset the just one because he is obnoxious to us. He sets himself against our doings, etc., etc. So his very example, just the fact that he walks into the room, it's just like, ugh, it's him again. Why do you think I was so unpopular in yoga? No, just kidding. Okay, so what is the reason? Well, actually, all three of the readings today fit together really well. What's the reason? St. James tells us very quickly. He says, where do conflicts among you come from? He says, is it not from your passions that make war within your members? You covet, but you do not possess. It doesn't just mean like I covet this person has the latest iPhone and I don't. Maybe that. Maybe you covet the fact that this person is better looking than I am, or at least they think they are. This person has a better voice than I do, or I think they do. This person, whatever. Whatever quality, skill, money, whatever the thing is, that if I see that they have it and I don't have it, that if I'm not in a good place spiritually, instead of glorifying God, and instead of recognizing, hey, how great that this person has this, it becomes like a problem for me. If we, any time that you notice that somebody else has something good and you start getting upset about it, the problem isn't in the other person. It's in you. It's in you. So what are we going to do about it? Okay? I'm actually using notes, believe it or not. I don't normally do this with you guys, but I'm actually using notes. So, I don't know, I am told, okay, just so you know, I'm not a woman. I am told by women that this can be a scenario. You are at a party or a social event, and you walk in the room, and especially if you're young, you know, like, girl in her 20s. Maybe you don't admit to this socially, but there's a part of you in the back of your mind, you walk in the room, you start checking out, who's the competition in here? And then you see somebody who's really attractive and well-dressed. And it's like, I hate her. You don't even know her. But you hate her. Why? Because your own insecurity. Now, guys, the same thing can happen. We don't walk in and we don't go around saying, this guy looks like Brad Pitt, I hate him. But I guarantee, like if you get in an elevator and some guy who's a Marine walks in, there's a presence. Or a guy who's like a professional athlete walks in, there's a presence. And you realize, this is the guy version of the exact same phenomenon. It's like, well, here's me. And here's D.K. Metcalf. Okay, there's a little bit of a... If you don't know who D.K. Metcalf is, he's 6'4", weighs 230 pounds. And I'm not joking, he has like about 3% body fat. This guy looks like a Greek statue, and he plays professional football. And this guy walks in. It's like, okay, there's something. He's like, okay, you know what? I'm going over to the other corner of the room. I'm not even going to be. He could be the coolest guy in the world. I don't want to know about it, okay? Because part of you, if you don't want to be humble about it, part of you is like, there's the competition, and I don't stack up, okay? So all of these are kind of humorous examples of what can happen if we choose to make it about ourselves. And see, this is the problem. Whenever we feel these inclinations, whenever we start comparing and feeling jealousy, which, by the way, you know what Shakespeare referred to jealousy as? The green-eyed monster. That was his, you know, Shakespeare called it jealousy, the green-eyed monster. One of his plays, Othello, that was what it was about, was the vice of jealousy. When we allow jealousy, when we start noticing somebody who has things that I don't have, especially when it's something objective, we know this person is holy. It doesn't mean they don't have defects. Father Pio even had defects. He had a sharp temper. Doesn't mean the person doesn't have defects, but when we focus on on other people, and we let ourselves get worked up about it, the problem isn't in them. The problem, it's about me. And here's the thing. In the end of the day, the real issue is I'm going through the world, I'm going through life, making everything about me. If we're truly rooted in God, if we are living the lives of holiness, if we are really living lives where it's simply a matter of what is God's will, we want to glorify God, we want to love God for himself and in our neighbor, it's not about us anymore. And when we see people who are holy, like a Padre Pio, instead of getting angry, and instead of judging, and instead of trying to find some defect, real or imaginary, we let this person edify us. We glorify God. When you live with a Padre Pio, you have a choice. You can either let him lift you up by his example because you're going to be honest and humble and say, hey, yeah, he's giving me a good example of the way I should be. Or you can decide, I'm going to reject it. You can choose to become an angel out of that, or you can choose to become a devil. If you want to know what the supreme example of that is in all of human history, let's take Judas, okay? Judas was chosen by God from all of eternity, specially chosen to be one of the 12 foundation stones of the church. Jesus was not being ironic when he called him friend. He was chosen by Christ. He says, out of all of human history, you are one of 12 men that I have chosen to become one of the 12 apostles from which all of the future bishops and priests and the entire Catholic hierarchy is going to come from. He lived with God himself for 3 years. He saw holiness itself. He witnessed hundreds, if not thousands, of miracles. He heard the words of eternal life coming from Christ's lips. He never saw Jesus sin. It never happened. There was absolutely nothing you could criticize Jesus about legitimately. And because he didn't want to change, he didn't want to allow Christ into certain areas of his life, he had to make a choice. Either I will be humble and become transformed and become the saint that Christ wants me to be, or I will reject him. And not just reject him and walk away and just say, I'm going to pretend he doesn't exist or whatever. I'm going to reject him and betray him so that they crucify him. This is the supreme example of how far it can go, okay? So I think these readings, if there's nothing else that we take away from these readings, they are a conscience call to say, okay, what if I were going to be that honest? What if I were as honest as the writer of the Book of Wisdom, where he says, at least he's honest. He says, let us be sent the just one because he's obnoxious to us. At least he's very honest about life. Nobody really is that honest. We always make up excuses why the person secretly has a dark side. Okay? What if you and I were that honest? Well, if you and I were as honest as that, one of two things would happen. When we come across holiness, in the people in this parish, because there are people in this parish that serve, that are generous, that give their time. Sure, they've got defects. If we were really honest, though, when we see holiness in the lives of people around us, one of two things would happen. We would either become angels or we would become devils. And the question, I guess, is going to be, which one is it going to be for us? How honest do I want to be? And Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit.